T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, it's a Monday. Rise and shine. I know you don't want to do it. You don't want to be in your car at this hour of the morning in the O-Dark driving in because it's back to being cold again, and you're going, I know that feeling because that was me about 2 hours ago. Hugh, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. Good morning, John Freaky. Good morning, Wendy. How y'all doing? How was your weekend? I hope everybody had a great weekend. Morning.
Well, you were at the game yesterday, weren't you, Wendy?
I was, and so was Bo. Bo was there along his beautiful wife, Amy.
It was a hell of a game, too.
It was an awesome game, and we finally got to see Ezekiel Barco for just a bit later on in the match, which was kind of exciting. But, yeah, it was a good game.
How about your weekend?
Nice. Oh, it was pretty cool. I watched the match on television, and it was like, yeah, you're right. When he came in, you know, they were talking about it on TV, Alexi Lalas and the other guy. I forgot the other guy's name. But when he came in, the crowd just went bananas because they wanted to really see what he could do. And just I really to see how fast he was, because they were talking about that the whole game, how these two teams, like, they have contrasting styles of the way that they play. And they wanted to see how Barco fit into this. They say he's fast, but they wanted to see him topped out.
Well, he was fast. He was quick. He got a little too deep on his first run and his first touch in about 75th minute. But you could see where, you know, he's only 18. I mean, look at the kids in our town. I mean, literally, look at the kids in our town. John Collins, Barco, and where do you see Acuna and Ozzie Albies, and the Falcons have a bunch of guys like Tack. These guys are, they're 20, they're 18, 19, 20 years old. Carlton, they're kids. So, Barco would be in high school, for crying out loud. I mean, they're just young guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing that you get excited about is the fact that you have the future. You have the future that's here in Atlanta now. You got some good young prospects all across the board. When you're talking about basketball, you're talking about baseball, you're talking about soccer, you have some really young, good prospects that, you know, potentially – and hopefully can bring you a championship here real soon. Real, real soon.
Or multiple championships. Let's go with multiple. Today is not tax day, right? Is that what you were telling me, Bo? Because I thought, you know, maybe today was tax day, and I think you were coming in telling me tomorrow is tax day?
Yeah, because I got worried I wasn't going to get mine filed because I sent it to an accountant, and then I was like, hey, what's the deal? You know, the taxes are due. And she goes, no, you got till Tuesday. It's the 17th this year. So for whatever reason, I guess, with the weekend, with it falling on that, they give people an extra day or two back date.
Yeah, you got to do that tax thing. Yeah, that's coming up. Tax man knocking on the door. So, yeah, interesting weekend. As part of my anniversary, I bought my wife, as always, wanted to see, you know, the old school group Alabama.
You know, yeah, I remember the group. Yeah, I remember the name. Yeah.
So she wanted to see Alabama. She's never seen them. So I took her to the Fox, and it occurred to me, This is pretty sad. I went to the Fox with my dad to see, and I told my father this over the weekend, to see a movie in 1977. Hugh, that was the last time I had been to the Fox. It had been 41 years. That's pretty. When you don't go to a landmark like the Fox for over 40 years and you live in Atlanta, shame on you.
Yeah, well, shame on me because I haven't been yet. And so the first time I go would be the next time I go would be my first time, so I definitely need to go check that out. But damn, John, that's a long time.
No kidding.
It's a long time.
I will say this, love him or hate him, Charlie Daniels is 81 years old, okay? Dude's 81. He opened for Alabama, his band. He's 80. I'm going to sound really old again. I saw Charlie Daniels in concert in 1975. He was 38 then. He's as good at 81. He is still the best fiddler and guitar player that genre of music has ever seen. and he's still, he's 81 and he's still like he's 30. I'm going, could I be 81 standing on stage playing a, you know, Devil Went Down to Georgia fiddle at absolute pitch perfect speed and everything?
Does anybody still play the fiddle anymore? I mean, I'm pretty sure they do, but I'm just, you know, I mean, anybody good still play the, anybody of note, that's better. Anybody of note that plays the fiddle real.
Besides Charlie, I don't know. I mean, you don't hear it in today's country music. You don't hear that. Today's country music is country rock.
Because the fiddle and the violin are two different things, right? They're just, they're like held the same way, but they're two different things, correct?
Yes, they are correct.
Yeah, because two different instruments. So yeah.
But I mean, yeah, just really amazing to see an 81-year-old guy. Because I know Alabama was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so a lot of people had a chance to see him. But to see this dude at 81 just going 100 miles an hour is just like, okay. At 81, I want to be able to walk.
Well, I mean, I get it's like this. It's almost like muscle memory, if you will. The fact that you've been doing something for so long that it's old hat to you. Like, I had a chance to see Bruce Springsteen in concert. It was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bruce is old, but the energy that he gave off on the stage was pretty impressive for a guy his age.
Yeah, he's got to be pushing 70, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. I mean, but you know what? He had on the vest. You know, I was up front. He had the vest on, and he had the hair was he had that Beijing in his hair. It looked all black. It wasn't no gray. I didn't see any gray. And you would have sworn that he was in his 30s easily, the way that he performed, the way that he moved around up there.
All right, we got a lot going on this week. It's going to be a busy week ahead. Kind of get you started on a Monday, just to let you know kind of the lay of the land. You got a tax day is tomorrow, so that's one thing to keep your eye on. Another is that the NFL draft is 10 days away. I know that's not this week, it's next week, but as we build through the week, you can bet that they're going to be, and we'll get into it, there could be a gigantic trade that could happen as soon as, you know, today. You never know. Not to mention the fact that there are multiple teams today in the NFL that could make offers for Dez Bryant. I mean, Hugh, multiple teams. I mean, one of the reports that I saw on CBS said that within 2 minutes of the official release of Dez Bryant, three NFL teams had called his agent. Within 2 minutes.
That's pretty good. That means that he still has some value. That story with him and the way that he got cut and some of the things that his teammates said about him, it's a little fishy. It's a little fishy. And I think that a lot of teams, you know, knowing that or reading that story and reading into it like I did, you think that a lot of teams are probably going to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to Dez Bryant. Because when you look at this one, John, I mean, they took their sweet time. They did their homework before they decided to cut him. There was always speculation that they might move on from him, but they took a long time before they decided what they were going to do with Dez Bryant.
Right, and they decided to finally release him, and so he is out on the open market. I mean, you just sign him. The Cowboys saved a whole bunch of money under the cap. They just said, goodbye. And we'll get into that story a little later. We'll also get a look ahead and start talking about G-Day and T-Day. Tech plays its spring game on Friday night. Georgia plays G-Day in Athens on Saturday. We're going to have a special show on Saturday morning. Mark Owens, Stan Norfleet, and I from Grindhouse in Athens. We'll get into all of that coming up. And the Braves are back home. Whew. Man, I never wanted a team to play a game worse than I wanted the Braves to play yesterday, but the weather in Chicago. The weather up north is insane. My dad sent out a picture from Michigan on Saturday morning that I linked out. You, I know you saw it, Hugh, up at the lake, up at Torch Lake. They had 7 inches of snow. Come on, really? Are you serious?
Happy spring. What can I say about that? Happy spring.
Man.
And that's why Michigan couldn't get that good quality work that they needed this weekend. A couple teams up north couldn't get that quality work that they needed this weekend. But, man, you know, talking about the Braves and watching that game Saturday,
uh-huh.
Woo, you talk about watching, like, the weather. Like, I'm not a weather weenie. I'm not, and I would never use weather as an excuse when you're playing a professional sport, especially when you're making a ton of money. But, man, that was tough. That was a tough game to be in,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the temperature steady dropping and trying to stay focused and go out there and trying to win a game. Man, that was a rough one, and it was cold. I was cold watching them play on television. I was cold.
Well, certainly I could tell you that they need to – use the cold as an excuse, because that eighth inning on Saturday, the bullpen from Luke Jackson all the way through was indescribable how bad they were. Giving up 9 runs with 2 outs on 3 hits. Indescribable.
I tell you what, though, John. You probably could blame it on the weather, but Sam Freeman was one of their most – he was one of the most consistent pitchers out of the bullpen. They had used him the most up until that point, and he was struggling. He was out there having a tough time. So I look at this team, and I said it early in the season. I said that with them, the Braves this year, they have to make sure that they have to do everything right. They can't make a whole lot of mistakes. And when you look at that game, you could say that they kind of relax, which I do understand, because if you're up like, 8 runs, you tend to relax a little bit thinking that the game is in hand. But it got away from them. And they started making mistakes, start pressing a little bit, start making errors in the outfield. And, man, it just – it was costly. It was costly for him. It was ugly. That was some ugly baseball being played in that eighth inning.
You just have to hope that it's a one-off and not indicative of anything. Well, here's what it's indicative of. The bullpen has actually been pretty good, but I'll tell you, if there's one area of the team that I am not comfortable with, it's the bullpen. And so,
Outside of Saturday's game, they've been pretty decent. I mean, they've been pretty decent. I think up until that point, they only gave up like one home run in like 12 games or something like that. So it's something where I look at this Braves team and say, hey, they are not there yet where they can make mistakes and recover from mm-hmm. them. So they have to play almost mistake-free baseball. And they made a lot of mistakes. It was I think their worst innings were the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings. And that's where it really – the wheels just fell off the wagon. It really did.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this Monday, and we're standing by for potentially some big news from the Braves. There's no reason to bring Ronald Acuna up that a lot of fans say, because he was eligible as of, I believe, Saturday to go up, and of course, you're not going to bring him up in Chicago in the cold. They could bring him up today when they're back home against the Phillies tonight with Mike Foltynewicz on the mound against Aaron Nola. They could just have him, because the luxury is you have to drive from Gwinnett to Cobb. I mean, it's 285. I mean, so that's how you bring a guy up. Will they bring Ronald Acuna up for tonight? We don't know. I mean, so you're hearing people, most people say not likely, but they could. They have a spot on their 40-man. They could bring him up if they wanted to. Acuna's not been very good so far this year in AAA, and they may want him to stay down there and try and get his feet underneath him, because he's been pretty bad.
I would think that would be the case, John. You look at the way that Dansby Swanson was handled last year, and there was some debate whether or not they should have brought him up as early as they did. He struggled a little bit. I don't think they want to make that same mistake twice. So I'm going to be on the side that says probably not. I mean, you look at that game that they played Saturday. It was tough, but scoring is not the issue. I mean, that's one thing you look at. Scoring is definitely not the issue for the Braves right now. Hitting is definitely not the issue. So I don't think there's a pressing need to bring him up.
Well, this is a 7-game homestand that opens tonight. You have plenty of time during the homestand. If you wanted to do it this weekend when the Mets are in town, you could. So
no, that's
going to
be a tough one. Mets only got 2 losses this year. That's going to be a tough little
Mets.
So far, they only got 2 losses this year.
Well, the soap opera and drama of the NBA playoffs is already soap opera and drama. And it took exactly 1 game. There's a lot of soap opera and drama in the NBA playoffs already 1 game in, with like 27 to go. We'll fill you in on what happened next.
Here's Oladipo, right of center, 3 ball. Oladipo with 32. He has hit 6 3-point baskets. The lead is 17.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. If you're the Cleveland play-by-play guy, it's like Victor Oladipo is lighting up your team. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The opening weekend of the NBA playoffs gives us one big moment for pause, and that is the East wide open? Because Indiana went into Cleveland last night, not only beat the Cavs in Game 1, beat them by near 20 points, and, you know, I know that the Cavs have been in this position before, but boy, that was a performance last night, Hugh, that made you go, okay. Maybe Cleveland does have some issues.
I don't know, John. It was a good performance, no question about it, especially Victor Oladipo with his 32 points and how he went out there playing like he was on fire because he felt slighted. But, man, a team that has LeBron James on it, I mean, you cannot count them out. I mean, he did not get any help from anybody else. And it was funny because looking at some of the memes, they were talking about how LeBron was in the locker room beating up his teammates after the game. But any team that has LeBron James on it, man, you cannot count them out. You cannot count them out, even though they had abysmal,
right. Mm-hmm.
They had abysmal night shooting. But I still think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are the class of the East. I still do.
Well, you know, and it's not LeBron. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's not LeBron. You can't count LeBron out. And yes, they're still the heavy favorites in this series against the Indiana Pacers. However, there is something to be said. You remember when they redid the whole team and it was like, oh, they were just struggling and they redid the whole team there in the middle of the year. And then they came out and they were like, hey, it's all fresh and all new. Well, here's where the all fresh and all new might catch up to you. These guys that are all new have never been through the playoffs before. And so this is a, you know, as a team, as a unit. And so this is kind of new to them. And so we'll see how they kind of handle it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, LeBron by himself can put you on your sword, but you got to have some help.
Yeah, but you could probably say that for most of the teams that are in it because this is the first year that they're actually playing together. You like look at OKC and Paul George and those guys. This is their first year kind of putting it together. It's just that yesterday for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, it just – Indiana jumped out on them, John, and it was one stat that I saw. They were like 5 for 23 shooting threes in the third quarter, like from third quarter. I mean, up to the third quarter, they were 5 for 23. So they had a terrible day shooting threes. They could not hit it. They could not buy a three.
Well, the big four in the East all went over the weekend. Boston had an overtime victory over Milwaukee, and I'll give credit to Boston. I mean, no Kyrie. They haven't had Gordon Hayward since the opening game of the season. And yet they're still out there winning games because what you forget about Boston, you say, oh, they don't have Gordon Hayward. Oh, they don't have Kyrie. Is that they still have Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum could flat play. So Boston with a nice win. Then you had Toronto win, and you had Philadelphia win as well. And Philadelphia buried the Heat without Joel Embiid.
Yeah. That game, I think it was in the third quarter. Miami put up a nice little run, but they were too much. They were too much for the Miami Heat. And that's what it's all about. I think it was Chauncey Billups was talking about. He really liked the Philadelphia 76ers in this series because they have two, I forgot what the term he used, but it was like very good players on the squad. Generational players. That's what he said. He was like Victor Oladipo, Joel Embiid and can't think of the other guy, but he was talking about how they had two generational players on their squad and they think that they were going to go deep in the playoffs.
And they're doing it without Embiid. Remember, Embiid broke his orbital bone, right, when he collided with Markel Fultz. But they have Fultz back. Ben Simmons had a near triple-double. J.J. Redick is still out there scoring.
Yeah. But they got a nice squad, man.
They have a nice
young squad. And that's what it's all about. When you talk about how – when you look at the Hawks and what they want to build here, that's like what you're seeing – like you're seeing the beginnings of here in Atlanta – of what the 76ers are right now. That's what you're trying to build to. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get yourself positioned so that you can get those generational players that he was talking about. Other guy was Ben Simmons. I just remember his name was Ben Simmons that he was talking about. But, yeah, that's what you want to get. You're trying to get those generational players.
And so all the teams of the East, and they're all favored to win their series. We'll see. But it will be interesting if the final four in the East are, you know, because I think Philadelphia fits into that mix. As a matter of fact, I think if you look at the Sixers, in Boston and Toronto, I think you probably put them in a hat. And depending on how Cleveland kind of adjusts to the new lineup in the postseason, maybe all four of them go into a hat. Out West, you got your guys doing your thing. I want to talk about the Warriors and Spurs in a moment, but I saw, you know, James Harden go off for 44 yesterday. What happened to Houston in the playoffs last year? And considering how great a regular season player he is, James Harden has to know, Hugh, that his rep is, I'm a great regular season player, but I'm not a postseason guy. And he has to know that he has it on his shoulders to finish that and change that narrative.
Yeah, you're right, Johnny does have to do that because you don't want to, like, as a player and as great as players, he's trying to be. Because they're talking about him in the same vein as they're talking about the Russell Westbrooks mm-hmm. and guys like that, LeBron James. You cannot be a guy that comes up short in the playoffs. And he came up big time short last year, especially when there was a whole lot of the MVP talk and everything and whether or not he should have been the MVP. It seemed like down that stretch and when the playoffs started, he just was non-existent. He was non-existent.
Man, so you will see what happens with Houston and OKC and, again, the big teams out West. Golden State beat San Antonio. not a shock. You know, we'll see how Golden State works out and whether or not they can get healthy. And they may be able to rest guys through this series because San Antonio still didn't have Kawhi Leonard.
They won't have Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard said, I'm chilling.
Yeah, he
I'm
is
working
chilling.
On my rehab.
Oh, he is. He's injured. Yeah, come on. He's not injured. I'm working on my rehab. What rehab is that? Your rehab, the fact that you hate Pop? All right, and you're not going to play for him anymore?
It's amazing. It just makes you kind of wonder what is really the issue with him and Coach Popovich. Because Coach Popovich seems like he's probably one of the coolest coaches to play for in the NBA. And you just kind of wonder what made their relationship deteriorate to this point.
Yeah, it is interesting that Pop and him have just fallen out so bad that there are people in San Antonio that are starting to, or maybe not in San Antonio, but nationally wondering if this is an issue. Pop's going to be 70 years old. They say maybe San Antonio ought to consider signing Kawhi and getting rid of Pop. If the only option to keep Kawhi Leonard is to get rid of Pop, maybe at this point you do that. Maybe it's just time to move on from Greg Popovich. He's been the coach forever there.
Yeah, but they just won a championship, what, like 5 years ago? I mean, and they've been – for him to be the type of coach he is, John, and for him to be in the finals and to be in the playoffs every year with a really, like, veteran squad, that's pretty impressive. I mean, since I can remember, San Antonio has been a winning franchise, and he's been a part of that. I don't know. I know Kawhi Leonard is a hell of a player, but I don't think he has that kind of pull that they would be trying to make a decision between him and Coach Popovich to see which one's going to stay.
Yeah, well, of course, in Atlanta, we can't talk about anybody else's coach because Mike Budenholzer might be on the outs. He's going to go talk to the Phoenix Suns. Now, here's the deal. The Hawks owe is a relative term. Bud is under contract with the Hawks. I believe it's $14 million. And so if he stays, that's what you're gonna have to pay him. If you don't want him anymore, you'd have to pay him $14 million to leave. And I'm sure that Tony Russell doesn't want to pay him $14 million to leave. But the fact that they're going to let him go talk to the Phoenix Suns says to me that Mike Budenholzer is not going to be the coach anymore, right? I mean, I think we all understand that.
It's just kind of weird because you're talking about going talking to the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns are not a good team, to put it lightly. And to be a coach that has known nothing but winning his whole career with San Antonio and has some success here with the Hawks, it's safe to say that he probably doesn't want to be a part of a rebuilding situation. But the Phoenix job, to me, that you might as well stay here because they're in a position where they're rebuilding. They're trying to get better.
Yeah, but I don't know that you can stay here. I don't think the Hawks might just cut you. I mean, I think this says the Hawks have made it pretty clear. We don't want you.
See, I kind of read a little different. You got permission. So to me, that says that you ask for permission to see another team, and they're like, hey, we're not going to stop you. You know, not necessarily saying that we don't want you here or anything like that, but if you're not want to be a part of this rebuild process, then we're willing to move on without you.
Well, he is from Bud is from Arizona originally. He's from a small town in Arizona, so he got family there.
He's going back home, right?
And you get a long term deal. I can see. Yeah, maybe I'm misreading this, Hugh. I mean, I read this. I understand what you're saying. I guess what I read was, why don't you go see if you can find somebody else who wants to offer you a job? That's how I read it.
I read it more so. Hey. This team is interested in me. I want to go see what's going on with this job. I kind of read it like that, but who knows? Because I wasn't in there for the meetings, and there has been rumblings that Coach Bud did not want to be involved with the rebuild process.
But you're right. I mean, if you're not going to want to be a rebuild here, good Lord.
So yeah, you got to move
Phoenix
on.
Phoenix is up more of a rebuild than this.
Yeah, that is.
We are farther down that track here.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting knowing his background and where he's come from. For him to even consider that, I mean, that was pretty interesting because his name was also linked to
Milwaukee.
Yeah, the Milwaukee job.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking here in Atlanta that we are next year is going to be a bit, you know, in the 30s. Maybe we make a run at the eighth spot, but I think we're the year after next.
Yeah, you know
I do.
What, you
I
know
think we're year after next.
It was something that was brought to my attention just a few minutes ago. Shout out to my man Daryl. That maybe it's a situation where he might want to have more say with the club, and maybe. Phoenix is going to give him that opportunity to have more say. Because you look at when Travis Schlenk comes in here, Coach Bud doesn't have that kind of pool.
Right, they stripped him of his job, right?
Kinda, yeah, stripped him of his title. That kind of pool, so yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
maybe that's what the situation is.
Yeah, well, I think Travis is probably going to want his own guy, and Bud was not his guy. And who knows how they get along, you know, we talk about Kawhi and Pop, who knows how Travis, and we don't. I assume it's cordial professional, but if you're the general manager and you're in a rebuild, you want to make sure you have the right people in place across the board, and that includes it as head coach. And
I don't know if I'm looking at this the wrong way, though. Phoenix, Atlanta. I don't know. To me, it just seems like Atlanta's a much nicer place to live. The Phoenix, it's hot.
It's hot. It's like an oven, man. It's the desert.
It's that dry heat. It's that dry heat. And you got all kind of critters that'd be in your backyard.
Today is a Monday, the day before tax day. We'll tell you what else today is. Welcome to Monday. It'll be okay. Trust us. It's Ahead with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game. Get your sports fix anywhere. On demand. Beyond live streaming.
It's on demand.
Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
What does that mean?
And if you don't know how to use those...
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll switch you to communications.
Ask your kids. The Game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Monday. Today is the day before tax day. All right, Mr. Musically Arrested. You help me out.
This is Chance the Rapper. No, I wasn't laughing at that, John. I wasn't laughing at you this time.
No, it's all
right. I was laughing.
Wait, this time.
No, I was laughing because I was looking at these days, and it's one of these days that's on this list that I partake in. Every day.
You like Eggs Benedict?
No, that's not the one, John. That's not the one. It's the next one.
It's definitely not the day that Hugh celebrates, but this one is because today is National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
All day, every day.
Hugh just rolls in here in jammies.
No, I roll. Listen, I wear like the scrubs and pajama pants so much that my son does not even want to go in the mall with me. Like, I took my son, like, true story. Now,
which mall are you going to?
I went to Cumberland Mall for the first time ever yesterday. No, what was it? Friday with my son.
Really?
Yes. Because let me tell you, you know where like the Cobb Gallery and all other stuff
yes.
is over there?
No, I live over here. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking
I always
about.
Thought the mall was on the other side of the street. Always. So we're
like right. where the gallery is?
Yes.
That's tremendous.
So I'm yeah. exactly. But it used to be right. Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, that the mall used to be right here. And my son was like, what, Dad?
Oh, you mean the old Galleria Mall where the riches was? Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, what happened to the mall? And he was like, no, Dad, the mall's on the other side of the street. So we get ready to go in and he's looking at me like, really? You about to go in there with your pajamas on? I'm like, well, I didn't know I had to change clothes to take you to go buy you a pair of shoes. Now, if you're going to complain, then we could just leave. He didn't complain. So, yeah. That was the first time I've been to the mall.
You want to look nice, Hugh, when you
not really
to the mall. Well,
listen, I don't heads. Not really, but I do see your point, Wendy. Because when I went to the mall,
did you get dressed up to go to Walmart.
There were a lot of people dressed up, like in Atlanta. It's like you kind of have to.
Oh,
like I did feel some kind of way when I went to the mall, but I was like, I don't care, I'm grown.
I don't know.
I'm
46. My mall, you can walk in and whatever you want, and nobody there.
Well, it just depends what you're looking for because
it's empty.
But if I'm going to the mall, I know I'm going to probably get a new outfit or that's what I'm there for because I don't just go to the mall to browse because I can't stand it. But normally you want to kind of look decent so you know what you look like in that outfit that you're about to buy.
I don't know what that feels like unless it's only time I'm trying to dress up right now.
It's because
is if I'm going to court and I don't plan on going to court no time soon.
Well, it's the same reason why you get a spray tan before you go try on bathing suits because you want to make sure you're tan.
Yeah, I don't get a spray tan. I've never had a spray tan.
You don't want to try on a swimsuit when you're not looking sunny.
Why not?
Trust me, it makes a difference. You want to feel good about yourself.
Eggs Benedict Day is good. I wouldn't wear my pajamas to work if I were you, but. Eggs Benedict is good.
I wear what I
Yeah, you can. If you do what we do, you can wear your pajamas to work. You can wear your pajamas.
Yeah, I love Eggs Benedict, but I like it too much, and I can't. I mean, every time I have Eggs Benedict, all I can think about is like my heart jamming up.
I'm not sure I've ever eaten Eggs Benedict.
What are Eggs Benedict?
Eggs Benedict. Eggs Benedict. Here's the story, because I happen to know that, because my dad worked for Hilton, and it's a Hilton story, because it started at the Waldorf Astoria. Okay, and so they had a patron that came in all the time. This is in like the 1920s, and he wanted something different. So the chef came up with it. You take an English muffin, right, and you put a piece of ham on it. This is where Egg McMuffin came from. You put a poached egg on top of that, right, and then you pour hollandaise sauce all over it, okay? And then you can have different kinds of Eggs Benedict, like Crab Benedict, where you use crab meat and put the poached egg on top of that with Eggs Benedict with the hollandaise sauce. And it's really good. It's great. That's Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten Eggs Benedict.
I don't like runny eggs. So there's that.
I don't mind runny eggs. It's just an interesting combo. I'm not sure I would.
Yeah, the
really
crab Benedict at a place. If you ever had eggs Benedict with crab, it's good. Really good. Tasty.
Well, I will have to try it sometime. Birthdays today. Bill Belichick, the hoodie, turns 66 years old today.
I don't care about his birthday. I care about his retirement day.
The ball, just so he can flex. That's Amigos rap. Bill Belichick.
Also today would have been Selena's birthday. She would have been 47 years old today. Akon turns 45. Martin Lawrence, 53 years old today. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar turns 71 years old today.
Oh, my God. That's just oh, my God.
You know what's funny? When I saw this, because on my paper, it only has the 7.
He's turned 7 years
and
old
I was
today.
Like, and I was like, what? Who named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Why is he on this listing? What did he do at 5 to make him so significant?
Yeah, like, the one would be do? Very important to put next to Kareem
71.
Abdul-Jabbar.
One. Oh, my God.
He looks good for 71, though. I will say that.
Well, speaking of, is the reason his birthday's on here, too, is because he is on the new cast of Dancing with the Stars. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, age of 71, will be competing on Dancing with the Stars.
Wait a second.
Division.
He's like, just because he's old doesn't mean he's short. I mean, he's still like 7'1".
Really tall.
Matter of fact, I think his age finally met his height. Is that fair, Daryl? Are we 7'1" in age and height both? Is he 7'2"? So you may be your age met your height.
I'm trying to figure out his partner, I believe, on Dancing with the Star is only my height. So she is probably 5'3", 5'4", at the tallest. So
he won't last long.
Yeah, that's going to be a little Mutton Jeffish.
He won't last long.
It really depends on how well he does that first week, because I think everyone gets the first 2 weeks kind of.
I didn't see the cast. I do you know who else made it?
I know Josh Norman's on there.
Yeah, Josh
I have
Norman.
No desire I have no desire to see this cast.
This cast is kind of.
Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon's on there.
Johnny Damon's part of the cast.
Your girl, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding made it, but Adam Rippon made it.
You know, this is true. Hugh, after I, Tonya, I would probably root for her because I feel so – I know this sounds weird, but that movie made you feel sorry for her.
Well, it just
– I know it was her account ball. I'm just saying it still made you feel sorry for her.
To Bo's point, where there's smoke, there's fire. And for her to be able to do – this is my take. For her to be able to do some of the things that she could do on the ice and for her not to get that kind of recognition – It does kind of make you wonder how much of that was true. Because at one time, she was the only one that could do the triple Lindy. No, wait a minute.
Triple Axel?
Yeah. I'm thinking about another movie where they did the triple Lindy. But the triple Axel, where it was a very, very hard movie to do. And at the time when she was competing, she was the only person that was able to do it. And for her not to be able to get the scores that she needed to get, part of it, the way it sounded, was because she didn't have the financial backing that she needed to be a professional skater. So, yeah, I believe some of that.
The look.
Well, she looked well, they used the trailer trash. They used trailer trash.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool, not to tell the movie, but I'm going to tell the movie.
No, don't tell the movie, Hugh.
Well, I got to tell this part because it's significant.
No, I have not seen it. And sometimes people in their car might not have seen
it. But it's a significant piece. I see it. Fine. I'm not going to say it because I see Daryl over there with his hand on the button.
But on Dancing with the Stars, they do one episode where it's the most memorable year, and maybe that might be hers. So we may see some more info from her on the show.
Sometimes rivalries are just born. Was a new rivalry born in Atlanta sports last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? The answer is maybe. what United did next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.